And so I'm continuing on the theme of our identity in Christ Jesus. And when I chose this subject about 3 weeks ago, I've been speaking for 3 weeks now on this subject of our true identity. Because many of us, we have identities, and that those identities come from various factions. They come from different sources. But I believe that when we understand our true identity in God, it makes a huge difference. Because then we don't run after fashion, or we don't run after accolade. We don't run after, you know, something that's happening somewhere. We don't get confused when we know what God has said about us. And so in order to, in a world that we're living in now, where there's so much confusion about gender identity, about identity in general, you know, people do not know who they are, where they come from, I think it's important for us as a church to declare to people today that you have an identity that God has already predestined for you. And when I read the book of Psalms 139, we know that God planned us before our parents planned us, correct? He knew us even before that happened. And so that's how intimately connected God is God with us. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he places value on our lives. And so I'm continuing on the same theme this morning. And I'm going to look at a few more attributes of who we are and what identity we have in Christ Jesus. Is that okay? Wow. Who's in the room? Wow. Okay, good. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you will bring a new revelation of who you are and of our identity that you have already provided for us in you. God, I ask that you will speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I have here, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, is that you and I, we are God's masterpiece. Wow. We are God's masterpiece. And it says here in verse 10. Oh, look at that. It's great, isn't it? It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. It is God himself who has made us and what we are. We are a masterpiece of God. Why? Because he made us, correct? When somebody makes something, you wear every one of us, I don't have a watch, but I used to wear a watch. We all have iPhones or phones. Somebody mastered this phone, correct? Somebody has authority over this phone. Somebody put this together, correct? This is a masterpiece that has been created by the one who put this together. And I know that God made us, and he made us unique. How do I know that? Because our thumbprints, our fingerprints differ from one human being to the next, correct? Not one of us have the same thumbprint. Not all of us have the same iris. Is it the iris? In the eye. It's different. Isn't that amazing? God places value on us. We are God's masterpiece. We belong to Jesus. And we have belonged to him from the beginning of time when he created us in his image and in his likeness. And then what did he do? He breathed his life into us and we became alive in Christ. Amen. We became alive as human beings. We are God's showcase. We are God's masterpiece. God delights in showing us off. Tell your neighbor that. God delights in showing you off. He wants to show you off as a masterpiece. He wants to display in us his precious, to show us how precious and valuable we are. That's what he calls us, precious and valuable. Think about that. You know what a masterpiece is? It's a work of outstanding artistry, skill, or workmanship. That's the meaning of masterpiece. Think about that. Wow, that's who you are. Tell your neighbor. You know who you are? You are a person of outstanding artistry, outstanding skill, and outstanding workmanship. That's who you are. You are no cheapskate, downtrodden, gutter-living trap. No, you are a work of outstanding artistry, outstanding skillfulness, and outstanding workmanship. Let's never belittle ourselves because God has placed value on our lives. You know, oftentimes, as I said last week, we hear people talk negatively about themselves. Or people say, you know, I was a mistake being born. God makes no mistakes because He knew you before you were born. Let's train our mind, because what we think in our mind gets spoken out through our mouths, correct? Let's train our minds to align our thinking and align our hearts to declare through our mouth who we really are in Christ. Before we utter a word that's negative about us, let's hold it back and think about what God says who we are. Let's think about the value God places on our lives, and let us hold back that comment or that thing that comes out of our lips to say, I'm no use, I don't belong, I don't know who I am, I think I'm a mistake. Instead, let's say, no, I know who I am. I know God has a plan for my life. I know I'm valuable to Him. Here's the other one. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says this: how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, blessed us. With every blessing. In some translations, it'll say with every spiritual blessing. Where? In heaven, because we belong to Christ. Hallelujah. God has blessed us with every blessing in heaven simply because we belong to Him. Can do a bigger amen than that. Come on. God has blessed us not because of our merits, not because of our qualifications, not because of anything that we have achieved, but simply because He loves us, because He chose us, and because we belong to Him. Hallelujah. Therefore, we know that these blessings, they cannot be earned, they cannot be bought, because it comes and it's given to anyone who has Jesus Christ in the center of their lives, having declared Him as their Lord and their Savior. See, when you and I, when we are in Christ, you and I have every spiritual blessing. You have that at your disposal. You got to call upon, you got to believe and ask God for every spiritual blessing that God has already provided for you and for me. What are these spiritual blessings and what do they do for us? You're glad I asked the question, didn't you? Were you thinking that? What are these spiritual blessings? What do they do for us? I have the answer. Aren't you happy? Can smile. Let's look at the word blessing. The word blessing comes from a Greek word, eulogy. And we know what eulogy is. It just means to speak well of. We do that at funerals, don't we? You speak well of somebody. And here it is God who is speaking. And so because God is speaking, we can say that God has spoken good things, has spoken well about us, or He has pronounced good things for our benefit. Can you see that? That's the meaning of blessing. blessing in heavenly places, spiritual blessing. God has already pronounced good things for our benefit. Tell your neighbor, good things are coming because good things have been promised. So what are these good things? Look at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the first one. God chose us to be His very own. It says here, even before He made the world, God loved us. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God has chosen us holy, to make us holy and blameless, all because of His love, all because of His good pleasure, and all because of His grace, His unmerited favor. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It was God's choice to do that. You and I had nothing to do with it. I mean, oh, the overwhelming, awesome love of God. That is the love of God. It was not our choice. It was God's choice. You and I were God's choice. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. It was His choice. I want that to sink in. We didn't choose God. God chose us. While we were yet in sin, the Bible tells us in Romans that Christ died for us. What a blessing that God chose us before the world began. He died on the cross for our sin whilst we were yet dead and still dead in our sins, and He made us alive in Him. While we were yet dead in our sin, God sent His Son to die on the cross that you and I might come alive in Christ Jesus. Did we earn it? No. Did we deserve it? No, because God chose to do that for us. Why? Because He loves you and He loves me so much. That's the overwhelming, reckless love of God that He showers on us. The Bible tells us that salvation comes by His grace. We cannot earn it. It is given. And this is even more amazing when we realize that He made that decision before sin ever entered into the world. Hallelujah. Are you not excited by what Jesus did and has done? I get excited because I know I could not have earned it. I could not have done anything for it. But I thank God that He found me at the age of 14, I think I was at the time. And God found me at a meeting like this in Sri Lanka. And I gave my heart to Jesus. I never turned back. I had no reason to turn back. Did I know everything from that point? No, I didn't. Do I know everything now? No, I don't. Don't look at me like that. I don't know everything. Every day is a journey that I journey with Jesus. Do I make mistakes? Yes, I do. Do I mess up sometimes? Yes, I do. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. My wife thinks I am, which is good. So here's the next blessing. Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says this, our adoption as His children. You and I have been adopted as His children. So not only has God chosen us to be made holy, but He grants us full status or status as His children. He grants us the full status as His children with all the benefits contained in that. You, those of you who have children, you know that they have all the rights, correct? As your children, they have all the privileges and all the benefits as your children, correct? Nothing is withheld from them because they are your children, correct? In the same way, God has adopted you. Tell your neighbor, you are an adopted son of God. Oh, he's a girl. So you're an adopted daughter of God. You have every right, every benefit, every privilege, every blessing. Everything God has for you is yours by your inheritance that you have in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You and I are not, you know, prodigals or, you know, people who are just, you know, somewhere on this earth, but you have been predestined, you have been called, you have been chosen, you have been set apart by God for His purposes. Isn't that amazing? John chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us this. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons or daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God has made it so easy for us to know Jesus. All we have to do is, what does He say there? Receive Him into our lives. Believe in the name of Jesus. Believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus into our lives, gives us full status to be called son or daughter of God. That gives us all the rights, all the privileges that our Heavenly Father has for us. Everything in the kingdom of God belongs to you and to me. Wow. That's why we need a kingdom mentality when we are on this earth. Believe that God, what God has given us. Here's the next one. Verse 6 says this. We have been accepted, or we belong in the Beloved. So when we put on Christ, the Father sees His loveliness, His holiness, His purity when He looks on us. When He looks at us. Why? Because He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through the lens of Jesus. He sees us through the righteousness of Jesus. And that's how He sees us. The blood of Christ has taken away every guilt and every shame. The shame of sin, the guilt of sin in our lives. And as we stand before the Father, we stand perfectly accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that amazing? We are made righteous, made right with God through Christ Jesus. Who are we to disqualify ourselves? Who are we to disqualify somebody else? We have no right to disqualify or devalue somebody else. Why? Because the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, qualifies you and validates you this morning. Are you getting something today? So what is our identity now? Son, daughter of God. Amen? Can you say that? I am a son or I am a daughter of the living God. Here's the next one. Here's the next blessing. We are redeemed through His blood. Verse 7 says this, in Christ we are made free by His blood sacrifice. We have forgiveness of sin because of God's rich grace. What does redemption speak? It speaks of buying one's freedom. It speaks about paying a ransom. The price for our sin, the payment to buy us out of eternal condemnation and death and destruction was fully paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It was fully paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, but we become children of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Bible tells us to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which belongs to Him. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20 tells us that. Why? Because you and I have been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus that was shed for us when he died on the cross for you and for me. When we did not earn it, neither did we deserve it, but God gave it. Hallelujah. He shed it. He gave it. Why? Because he wanted us to move ourselves from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's why he did it. Hallelujah. We are redeemed through his blood. Here's the next one. We have forgiveness of sins. Now the two are closely related. Redemption, forgiveness of sin. When you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you receive forgiveness for your sin. When you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, God forgives you for the sin, for missing the mark of God's best in our lives. In paying that ransom, what is a ransom? It's a sum of money demanded to release a captive. That's what a ransom is. In paying the ransom for our sins, the debt of sin was canceled. Hallelujah. We are no longer under the debt of sin. Sin has no hold over our lives. Does sin try to tempt us? Yes, it does. But it has no hold on our lives, provided we recognize the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and what his blood has done for us. And when we encounter situations where the enemy is trying to tempt us, we use the blood of Jesus. We use the name of Jesus. We recognize that sin has no authority to speak into our lives unless we allow it to speak into our lives. You and I, we have a choice. Even after we give our hearts to Jesus, he doesn't become a dictator. God doesn't become a dictator in our lives. We have a choice. We no longer have the burden of guilt for violating God's holy laws. We don't have that anymore. Isn't that amazing? No more guilt. No more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Here's the next blessing, is this, knowing the mystery of his will. Knowing the mystery of his will. Verse 8, we don't know everything now. Sometimes we wish we knew, didn't we? We don't know everything now, but one day we will understand and know the complete mystery hidden where? In Christ Jesus. But for now, God has given us sufficient wisdom and insight to understand something, to understand some of the things that are going on in our lives. We don't understand everything, but God has given us sufficient wisdom to understand. And in verse 9, it says this to 11, it says, this is what God has done. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. Verse 10. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. One day, all things will come together. Everything will come together under the authority of Jesus Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth will come together. Fulfillment will come the day that Jesus Christ comes back and receives us. And you know, all we have to do is to align ourselves to his perfect plan. Because God has a plan for your life and for my life. As I said last week, I often pray like this. I say, God, let your perfect plan come to pass in my life. Not what I desire, not what I want, but you had a plan for me, like we read in Psalm 139. Even before one day was lived by me, even before my parents knew who I was, you knew me and you had a plan for my life and you had written it all down every day of my life that I was going to live. God, you knew it. And I say, God, today is the 9th of June, 2019. You wrote it. The 9th of June, God, you had a plan already written for me. And I'm saying, God, I want that plan to come to fruition today, not tomorrow, not yesterday's plan, but today's plan. Come on now, you can ask that of God every day and say, God, you had a good plan for my life today. Today, tomorrow, you can say, God, it's the 10th of June. You had a great plan for me before I was conceived in my mother's womb. Now, Lord, I want to work it out. I want to walk it out. I want to see it come to pass. And I give my heart, I give my life, I give myself to you because I want your plan rather than my flimsy, puny plan to come to pass. Because your plans are greater than my plans. Your ways are greater than my ways. Knowing the mystery of his will. Hallelujah. Here's the next blessing promised. Is this. Is the inheritance that is given to us through Christ. Verse 11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. Is that what he says? Oh, yeah. You're reading the same Bible. That's good. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Say everything.
Everything.
Come on with a bit more oomph. Everything. He makes everything work according to our plan? No, his plan. Hallelujah. He makes everything, not some things, everything work according to his plan. Now, do we miss it sometimes? Yes, we do. Why? Because we go on our own selfish nature. We go by what we want. We go by what we want to fulfill ourselves with. Because selfishness is part of, you know, it comes, it creeps into us. We just want to live for ourselves and do things for ourselves. And we miss the mark, we miss the whole perspective of God in our lives. So let's see what's included in this inheritance. Do you like to see that? I told you, you won't see everything. Because then you won't need God if you saw everything and knew everything, correct? Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Is it there? Ah, there it comes. Okay, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Come on now. You can clap for that. That's a scripture you should put on your wall and say, I had not seen. No one has yet seen. No one has yet heard. No one has even determined or thought about the plans and the purposes that God has for me that he's going to bring to pass in my life, that he himself has done it and prepared it because he loves me and I love him. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? That's a scripture. Underline it. The riches of glory, the presence of God, the eternal home, these don't even scratch the surface of all the blessings that belong to our inheritance. An inheritance is something that we keep for our children, correct? God has an inheritance for us, but it's not just the riches of his glory. It's not just his presence all with us all the time. Neither is it our eternal home. It is far, far more. We don't even know it. Those are just surface things. There is more and more and more that God has for us. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither had it gone into our heads. We haven't thought about it. Nobody has what God has purposed and planned for us just because he loves us. The worship team can come back. You know, there's so much more that I can go on and on and on about the blessings that we have in Christ. But time's up. Here's the question. Do you know who you are in Christ? That's the thing. You heard this message. If you go online to our website, You can pick up all the three messages that you missed if you haven't been here. The question is, do you know? Do we know who we are in Christ? Can we see, can you see your true identity that has been given to you freely? Can you see it? Because when you see it, you can have it. If not, it'll be just theology. It'll be just theory. It'll be some beautiful words in a fantastic book. But it's got to take root in our lives. We've got to come to a place of throwing aside our old garment. You know, that garment of that has dictated to us that we are worthless, that we are useless, that we don't matter. You've got to get rid of that garment that sometimes we put on ourselves because we sort of think it's like a false humility. I got to pretend that I'm not good. It might, kind of makes me feel good. You know what I mean? We don't have to pretend because God has already done it for us. Instead, we've got to put on the garment of righteousness, of holiness. As Isaiah 61 says, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. If you're carrying a spirit of heaviness, what do you need to put on? Praise. What does praise do? It unlocks God's presence. And God's presence comes and dwells in the midst of praise. Amen. That's why the enemy wants to keep us out of praise. He wants to keep us quiet. But Christianity is not about being quiet. It's not about entering, coming through the side door, and before service is over, creeping out through another side door. No, Christianity is about shouting the name of Jesus. It's about praising the name of Jesus. It's about declaring the name of Jesus. It's about following Jesus. It's about walking with Jesus every day. Do we know Jesus? It's up to us to walk every day with our God-given identity. It'll be like, we put it this way. If a person has been trained to be a policeman, after a period of training, they qualify, correct? Then they're given a badge. They're given authority, correct? And when you see a policeman in uniform and they carry a badge and they display it, their identity, they are the law, correct? They have the authority to arrest you. That's the identity given to them by the state. You and I, we carry the identity. Come on, church. We carry an identity that is eternal, that never fades away. No rust, no moth. Nothing can take your identity away from you that God has bestowed because He loves you so much. I wanted to get that into your spirit this morning. Because I wanted to go from here knowing who you are in Christ. The blood of Jesus was shed not in vain, but for the greatest purpose is for you and for me. No devil or demon can touch or come anywhere near the blood of Jesus. No one, nothing can touch you because the blood of Jesus flows in and through your lives. That's your identity. Let's stand together this morning. No mountain you won't
Me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the night.